You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Rob?
Michael.
You've been busy. You've been traveling a lot.
Been traveling some.
Does Natalie hate when you travel? You're running around the world?
No, she's okay with it.
I don't like it. You're not available to me like you used to be.
I know.
I know you're not making much money on this show, but...
One day.
I miss you. I miss having you around more.
I know. Well, we still, though, see each other at least once a week.
Well, I wouldn't say once a week. I'd say on average probably twice a month. Maybe we have to do ads every once in a while.
I would say three times a month.
But I know that people do like you a lot, Rob, because I get it like, hey, Rob wasn't on the other episode. And I'm like, you know, because they've been hearing your voice for a long time. So when they hear another voice, and Tyler's great. But they don't really know Tyler. And then all of a sudden, Rob's gone. What happened to Rob? Did you fire Rob? I'm like, no, I didn't fire Rob. I love Rob. I can't do this without you. I just quit. So if you quit, Rob, I quit.
Are we announcing?
We're not quitting. We're not quitting. But we need you. Hey, we want to thank you guys again for listening and for subscribing and reviewing. Everybody's so kind out there. I read the comments and I respond a lot of times.
You read every single comment.
I don't read everyone, but
someone just told us today, reading comments is like cutting yourself.
Yeah, reading comments isn't good, but it's different when I get feedback on the show because most of the times RRs are positive because it affects people's lives. They're like, I talk about mental illness. I talk about somebody who faced adversity. So anyway, listen, spread the word. I know I keep telling you, but you know, your listening means a lot to us and it keeps us going here. And spread the word, write a review. We have a wonderful guest today. I always wanted this person on. Rob was unsure because he just didn't know her. It wasn't because he didn't like her. He just didn't know this person. And Rob's young. He's 29 and 30. I'm going to have trouble when you turn 31, Rob. I'm really
I don't problems. Know what you're going to do.
I don't know what I'm going to do. Because I do mess that up sometimes, not a lot.
No, you mess it up constantly.
Cassandra Peterson is our guest today. A lot of people, most people know her as Elvira, Mistress of the Dark.
Yeah, she was your mistress for a while?
I wish she was, because I'll tell you what, when she came on the show, I immediately was drawn to her. She is so beautiful inside and out, and her stories are so captivating. She talks about her first time with Tom Jones, and that wasn't good.
Sex. We're talking about sex.
Yeah, it was. She'll talk about that. She just had some horrible things happen to her life. She's had a crazy life, and she shares it with us. She gets very open and personal, and I thank her for that, because sometimes it's hard, and she has lost a lot of close people in her life, and she's faced a lot of adversity.
And she lived in a tree.
She lived in a tree. She sure as hell did. She talks about her stalker, just so much freaky shit, and playing the very famous character of Elvira and all that. And, does she get kinky and wear the Elvira outfit? We'll see.
Of course you'll ask that.
You'll have to hear this one, but this is a fun one. Let's get inside Cassandra Peterson.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
I have to have a surgery too, but it's on my foot, the whole other end of my body.
Have you already had it?
No, I have to have it. I've been trying to schedule it. Wearing heels all those years?
Oh, yeah.
I was
the
just
Elvira
standing
heels.
Standing around. I was on a TV show standing. I had been jumping around beforehand, but.
How high were
standing
you?
Standing there, and boom, my foot broke. Just standing.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like.
When did that happen?
About. In September, I think.
And how high were you? I mean,
how high was?
Well, I mean, how high off the ground? Like, were you? Well, that too.
Yes, I wasn't high, unfortunately, because it hurts so bad. I should have been. How high off the ground? Well, I mean, I just have like 6-inch heels, you know. But I've been wearing them for, since I was.
And you never got hurt.
14 years old. No, and I wasn't doing anything. My bone just like.
Said fuck it.
Yep.
Can we say? Fuck on the show? Wait, it's my
can
show.
Can we? Oh, good. You can say things.
Do you
like,
swear
can
at
I?
All? Are you a swearer? Are you kind of reserved?
Well, when I meet people, I don't swear. But in my real life, I swear so much. it makes people like really even.
Wait, when you mean when you're playing a character?
When I'm playing the character, Elvira doesn't swear. She never says anything bad. She says damn and hell. Maybe that's the worst.
Right.
And she says sort of suggestive.
But in real life, stuff.
In real life, I swear like a sailor.
Really?
My dad sweared like this. Here's how my dad would talk. He'd go, "Well, I'm going down to the goddamn store. I hope I see that son of a bitch behind the counter, because that bastard would have to." You know, it was just like
everything. Every sentence had a bad word in
it. Yeah, and back then they didn't say fuck so much. It was more like son of a bitch, goddamn it.
Right. Fuck was unheard of.
Yeah, no, I never heard that coming.
What about the C word?
Oh God, no! I didn't hear that until well, you should hear me at night watching Rachel Maddow and seeing the news. I'm like, motherfucker!
You're just screaming at the
TV. Oh God, yeah, but just cursing and screaming.
You know, where I met you. Obviously, we met in
at a convention,
Rhode Island.
That's right.
We're at Rhode Island, I believe, wasn't it? And did you honestly think? Because I was so excited to see you. Now I'm a fan. And I know there's a lot of fans out here, and it's a, I don't know, a generational thing or whatever, but you kind of cross generations in a lot of ways, right?
I mean, I have lately. For a while, I was afraid all my fans were going to die off. They were going to get old and just be dead, and that was the end of my career. But all of a sudden, it got to be younger and younger and younger. I'm skewing younger. Pretty soon, fetuses will be watching me.
Yeah, so you were at the convention, and I saw you, and I was like, oh my God, how do I talk to Elvira? How do I get her on my podcast? I've always wanted her on my podcast. And I was in line, and I just wanted to say hi. And of course, you looked at me, and you were very nice, but you assumed I was just another guy who was really attracted to you, who wanted your autograph and your attention, and was going to pay you.
Well, okay.
For your services.
Then you're right.
Autograph
you're right.
services.
You're right.
You remember that, right?
I do. Because
you gave me that look, and I know that look because I've seen it.
You weren't
unkind. You were just like, oh, hi. How are you? What can I do to you? There's 25 people behind you. You were very nice. And then the guy in line who was doing your security goes, hey, man, I like your show or something. Then you realize, oh, he's actually in the business. He's been, you know.
Celebrity.
And we
must be much nicer now.
Yeah.
I'm always nice with fans.
You really are.
You do try to rush people along because, as you know, you have a lot of people waiting. So you're torn between really, you know, chatting and being really nice to them. And I love doing that. But when you see a line out the door waiting, you have to keep it moving.
Keep it moving.
So you don't want to piss off those people either.
Right. By the way, thank you, Cassandra Peterson, for allowing me to be inside of you.
Oh, dear God.
That's how I usually start the show.
We really met great. Wow.
Well, that's the...
I didn't remember that part.
Well, it's inside of you, Michael Rosenbaum. So that's what we say.
That good. Okay.
So it's not perverse.
All right, good.
Or is it?
Could be. I don't know.
But I noticed a lot of things. One, you were just like... You look fantastic. And I'm sure you hate that because people say that to me even, where they're like, hey, you look good after the show, whatever. You look like you haven't aged too much. But it's also harder for women because you guys are judged way more than we are. Guys can wear sweats and a hat and nobody gives a shit.
Yeah, that pisses me off at conventions where guys just walk downstairs, maybe take a shower, you hope, and brush their teeth or something, and they walk downstairs. I, on the other hand, get up. You know, they'll all say, why aren't you there at 9 in the morning? I'm going, first of all, because it came from L.A., so it's really 6 in the morning.
Yeah.
Second of all, because I get up 2 hours earlier, you know, wash my hair, blow my hair out, dry it, put on my makeup.
Does it take you 2 hours to get ready?
Yeah, two hours.
I'm looking at you right now, and I swear to God.
Well, not today. I didn't do it, obviously.
Well, you look just you're naturally beautiful.
Aww,
well, you just have like, you just look like you're not one of these people in Hollywood who spend tons of money fixing their nose and their lips and ultimately ruin themselves.
Well, I try not to do that.
Well, you just look like a real person, but like you've taken care of yourself.
Thank you. I do try to take care of myself, except for
what is drinking. That? What's in the coffee?
It's an ice. It's just a latte. Not
Kahlua?
An iced one.
Some I wish it was in there.
No,
some vodka?
There would be if I was home, but not here.
Are you a drinker?
I am.
You are?
Not a big drinker. But I drink a couple of glasses, usually wine in the evening.
Would you?
Pretty habitually, you know.
So would you consider yourself
I used to be a big drinker.
Or you were an alcoholic?
Oh, no, I've never been an alcoholic. I mean, no, I honestly can say I've never been an alcoholic, and I never went to treatment or anything like that. And if I had to stop, if somebody said, oh, you're taking antibiotics, you can't drink for a week, I'd be like, oh, okay, no big deal. I just drink for fun when I'm out or, you know, not alone in my room drinking, but my dad was an alcoholic. My two sisters were alcoholics, and my uncles all died of alcoholism.
Sisters died of alcoholism?
My one sister died of opioid overdose, and then
oh my god,
my other sister is a really bad very bad alcoholic and drug addict. She's
and this all kind somewhere. Of this is all genetic in a lot of ways. This
I
is
think
stem
so.
From the top of the chain. Yeah. Dad, mom too.
Nope, not my mom. My mom just died this week, as a matter of fact. But my
wait,
mom
wait,
never
wait.
Drank.
What?
Yeah, my mom died last Friday. Yeah.
Well, that's like the
heavy.
Worst thing I've ever. That's incredibly heavy. How old was she?
88. So she was around.
I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's been weird. It's been, we did not have a great relationship, but I took care of my mom and paid for all her bills and all her place she lived. And I saw her very often. And you know, I didn't think it was going to be that heavy, but actually when...
I don't know why I'm tearing up. Why am I the one that's all upset here?
I don't know. It is kind of heavy. You still, it feels like a giant void, you know? I just heard somebody today, someone said to me, even if you have a terrible relationship with your parent and they die, there's something like that you're mourning, which like a friend of mine was saying, her husband was mourning that he never had a good relationship with his dad. And then all of a sudden his dad's gone. It's like,
so almost
what do you
like,
do with that
so you're thinking,
energy?
Even a bad relationship is better than having no relationship? Is that what you're kind of insinuating?
Well, no, it's just that what you mourn is not the person so much, but what you, like I always thought if I was good enough, famous enough, pretty enough,
Jesus,
something for
too.
My mother, maybe yeah. someday I'd be really awesome, you know, and she'd love me,
fuck.
But you know, I never could get famous or fabulous or beautiful or whatever. So it wasn't enough ever. So now that's gone. And I kind of like have this big void, you know, kind of like, I who am I going to be good enough for? I don't have anybody to.
Well, that's horrible.
Fight against.
And by the
like,
way,
I'm
it's
in
so
therapy.
True.
Sorry.
Look, I fucking love, like, that's, I remember talking to you a few days ago and I said, hey, you know, this is kind of intimate and open on depending on how much you want it to be, but you were so forthcoming and it's just so, to me, I think you've shocked me a little bit because I wasn't expecting this.
Yeah, no, I mean,
this just happened, but
I wasn't
know.
Expecting it either. It was, I had gone that day that my mother passed away in the morning, I'd gone to my lawyer and made a provision that to set aside money to continue paying for her health care and all the things she needed, because I said, my mom is going to outlive me. You know, this is killing me. She's going to be 108 and I'm going to drop dead.
And you made that joke. You're probably messing around thinking this is what's going to happen.
And then later I drove over and I saw her and I brought her some dessert from Eataly, which always like perked her up. She'll have chocolate and had this nice visit. And she gave me a list of all the stuff she wanted me to go buy for her. Lipstick, makeup, blah, blah, blah. And I left there and I got home. And when I walked in the door, the place called and said, something's wrong. You got to get back here right away. And when I got back, the paramedics were outside and they said, your mother passed away. I mean, it was like, oh, gosh, look what he just did to you.
Jeez, right
just
in a moment
punched her
like
right in a kisser.
I mean, Jesus. How do you even, like when you say that, it just gave me chills. Because it's one of those things that you just can't predict. You never know what's going to happen, but you know what's going to happen, and you sort of have an idea of this is how I'm going to feel. You almost want to prepare yourself mentally, and you do it through life of how am I going to deal with this death? How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to, when I first hear it, what will be the reaction be? Will I need to sit down? Will I need to, like, I almost methodically sort of think of these things, and then nothing can compare you from when you hear it. I have a feeling, you know, when I lost my grandmother, that it's more of a your body becomes numb. Were you numb? Was it a
I
shock?
Did. Like, people asked me how I was feeling. I said, mostly numb. Just, and I didn't like break down crying or anything. I just kind of stood there, kind of like a Twilight Zone moment where I swear I was standing there kind of having a little bit of an out-of-body experience or something.
Yeah.
Not sobbing or crying. And the paramedics are saying, oh, we're very sorry. But she went in her sleep. She just laid down to take a nap. And just, they said literally her heart stopped. Just like, no, I said, did she have a heart attack?
Just peaceful.
No heart attack. Just, they said, it just stopped beating.
So the funeral was probably just a few days ago.
No, I'm actually, she's being cremated and then I'm going to have a memorial, excuse me, where we grew up in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and in the spring, probably. I'm going to wait. So, yeah.
Sort of get your thoughts together, get your feelings together, hopefully. Does this mean a lot more therapy? Do you think have you been going to therapy for a lot long time? I have.
Oh, my whole life. Yeah. If I didn't go to therapy, I'd probably be like one of my sisters right now.
Yeah, because I'm looking at you going, man, I want to hang out with you. You have your shit together. I have a propensity for hanging out with people that have their shit together because I don't know if I do. Like Rob here, for instance. Rob here is my producer. He's 29 years old.
Wow.
He's married.
30.
Whatever. He's got a kid. He's got his shit together. He just seems so calm and stressless.
Is that true, Rob?
Is that a word? Stressless?
Yes. Stressless.
No one uses it, but I said it. Stressless. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I just go, I envy that, but I also go, I need Rob in my life. I need Jessica, my assistant, in my life. I need people around me who are good people, who have my back, who I can love and do things for in a certain way that I show that I care about them. And in return, they could sort of keep me on the right path and not let me veer off too much. And I have a lot of those friends.
That's a good thing. I have some of those too, my assistant. My assistants in the past, it's a ghost.
You hear that? Listen, quiet for a second. Hold on. I got a puppy, Cassandra.
Was the puppy talking?
Yeah, and she's rolling balls down the living room. And you know, my assistant Jess, you'd think, hey, maybe we could put the fucking balls away. That's always telling me.
Oh, God.
By the way, thanks for the box of Elvira. Is that Elvira cereal? Is it new?
Yes, it is new.
Can you hand me that?
Funko. I don't know if I can reach it.
Somebody help out, will you?
Okay, thanks.
Oh, thanks,
yeah,
guys.
It's new. Be careful when you eat it.
I'm not eating this.
A day or so later.
It's collector's item.
Odd things happen to.
Is that true?
You'll die.
Diarrhea?
No.
You signed this for me.
Everything turns black.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Your diarrhea?
Yeah.
I mean, you're
well, hopefully you don't have diarrhea, but whatever you have, it's
is that true,
it's
though?
Black.
You poop and it's black.
Yeah.
You know, that happened to me one time where my stomach was upset and I took Pepto-Bismol. And I didn't know what was going to happen. And the next morning, I had a black tongue and black teeth, and I thought I was dying from the inside
really?
Out. I looked online before I went to the doctor, so I didn't freak out.
With Pepto-Bismol?
It makes some people's tongues black, mine being
one of
them.
I would think it would make it shocking pink.
Elvira, Mistress of the Dark, Tasty Treat, Funko Multigrain Cereal. You got to get a box of this and go to a convention and have her sign it, because this shit is... It's pretty cool, and it's probably going to be worth at least double the price of this box of cereal.
Yeah, at least $10.
I bet this is worth $50. How many boxes did they give you?
I sell it signed for $55.
$55? How many boxes have you sold?
A lot. Basically, it's only available at Hot Topic stores all over the U.S.
Hot Topic.
So it's strange it's at Hot Topic, but that's where they sell it. It's not in
the
grocery store.
That's the Hot Pocket.
Oh, Hot Pocket. Fuck.
Maybe Hot Topic should change it to that.
What was Hot Topic? It didn't have it?
I don't think
Hot
it had a jingle,
like,
now.
Hot Topic.
But let me tell you something. You know, your mother, God rest her soul, first of all, she knows what an incredible, incredible woman and daughter you were. That's obvious. You
know, she tells other people, but she didn't tell me. But
you know, she knew. I mean, how could she not know for what you were doing for her? She knows.
Yeah.
No. There's no question about it. This is like, you're a smart woman.
Oh,
this is,
you.
She absolutely knew, and she just had a tough way. Look where the upbringing. I'm sure it was kind of like, you know, your dad's an alcoholic. This, there wasn't a lot of like, I'm guessing that, people were more hard on you than they were throwing out "I love yous" and "you're great" and "you're good."
Remember.
Did anybody in the family get?
You.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
No, not really. I think I grew up the way I was because of that. Because of my mom constantly telling me, you know, I'm ugly, I'm stupid.
She told you were ugly and stupid
all the time. I mean, and I could go into all the details about my ears were too big.
But you were like, Mom, I slept with Tom Jones.
Well, that was much later on. This
but after
I
that,
kid.
I would have gone in there and I would have said, check this out. I just screwed Tom Jones. So how ugly am I, Mom?
And went out with Elvis, but we won't go there.
Did you have sex with Elvis?
No, because I was underage.
And he was respectful.
I was 17. Yeah, he had to be. He had to, like 12 guys that watched him every move, I swear
how
to God.
How old were you?
17.
So you were just a year shy of banging Elvis. Is that right?
Possibly. It's one of my greatest regrets.
I mean,
really
so
is.
Who?
Imagine.
I would have banged Elvis.
I know,
I'm a
right?
straight guy, as far as I know. Rob, would you bang
but
Elvis?
Really, Elvis, you know, come
probably
on.
Not.
Probably not. You're just so not. Straight, you couldn't do it. He's too straight. He's a quarter of a bottle of tequila away from fucking Elvis. Let me tell you that. I can tell you that right now.
We all were.
Yeah.
But yeah, I wish that would have happened instead of ending up with Tom Jones. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, but yeah, I
you went blah, 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 to Tom Jones. So what? That wasn't good. The Tom Jones wasn't good.
No, you know that whole story. Oh, God.
Well, I heard the whole story. My assistant said something that it was aggressive. It was aggressive sex.
No, it wasn't. I was just a virgin, so I wasn't prepared for any sex. I wasn't, you know.
So it wasn't like soft lovemaking that a virgin would expect?
No, because he didn't expect me to be a virgin. I was working next door as a showgirl dancing semi-nude every night. And
so he assumed
he assumed
I think most people would probably assume that if you're
and then afterwards he said, oh my God, what's wrong? And I said, yeah, I'm a virgin. He said, oh, come on, that's bullshit, you know. And I was like, no, it's not. It's for
did
real.
You ever talk again
to him?
Yeah.
I wish I never would. I went back.
No.
Yeah, but it was worse the second time. No, I went.
Wait, the second time?
Years ago. No, we didn't do it the second time. I saw him years later and at some party, and he was going to be at it, and I was with a girlfriend of mine, and I said, oh my God, there's Tom Jones. I'm going to go over and say hello. And I go over there and I said, oh, I don't know if you remember me. And he goes, oh yeah, I remember you. The one with all the scars on your back. I was burned in a fire. I'm going to tell you that.
Wait a minute. I thought he was.
And I go, oh,
whoa.
Yeah, thank you. Good to know. Thanks.
That's what he said.
Yeah. So that was even worse than the initial thing, right?
What?
Yeah.
He was that cruel? Was he just trying to be? I mean, I don't even know.
I don't know. Is he just an asshole? I don't know, I guess.
You're like, hey, remember me? Yeah, you got scars all over your back.
Yeah, you go, yeah, you're the one with the scars all
and
over your
back. And how many years had you not seen him?
Oh, that had probably, I was in my mid-20s, so from 19 to maybe 25, something like that. Nice, right?
Tom Jones.
Guys, this is what not to say to people.
I mean, yeah, that's just disgusting.
Yeah.
Now, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Oh, my God. Could you imagine saying something like that to someone?
I mean, that really hurt, honest to God. That first time hurt physically. The second time just hurt like, you know, I just wanted to, like, crumble up and die right there.
Yeah, I mean, I've had some girls say, like, oh, yeah, you're the guy with, you know, some hair on your back. You know, not a big deal. I mean,
and everybody else.
I don't have a lot of hair on my back, but, you know, a little I'm just kidding. They don't.
But
they haven't said
but
that.
A weird-shaped penis.
Just at least they didn't say the guy with the tiny dick.
Yeah, you're the one with the small weenie.
Yeah, that one. Now, that'd be cruel.
Yeah, it wouldn't be cruel as, like, somebody going after some physical, like, scar. I mean, what the hell? You got scars, so you burned yourself. How'd you burn yourself? I read that somewhere.
Yeah, when I was two, I actually climbed up on the stove. I caught my dress on fire, but luckily I grabbed the pot of boiling water that my mom was boiling Easter eggs in and pulled it over on top of me.
So it saved you.
I put out the fire, but no, I had scalded.
So
third degree burns on 35% of my body.
But none of the parts where you actually showed Elvira.
Only my neck. My neck, but my shoulders and yeah. Elvira shows all the good parts.
Are you self-conscious of that still to this day?
Yeah.
You are?
Yeah. I don't wear sleeveless. Anything but that,
like,
shows.
But first of all, is it really that bad?
Not anymore that I grew up. I mean,
because it stretches out.
Because all the skin grafting stretched out and it got less purple and red. When I was a kid, I was really made fun of a lot.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, like, monster, blah, you know, laughed at everything.
Which, let me ask you, do you think that that in part sort of, I mean, you got an alcoholic father, you've got a mother's not
my dad, by the way, was alcoholic, but he was a very functioning alcoholic. I mean, he went to work every day, just came home and drank like 6 to 8 beers.
Was he abusive, though?
Nope.
Oh, that's good.
Not at all.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, no, he was just...
He just liked his booze.
Just liked booze.
And he died from drinking his liver.
I don't know. He died from bone cancer, but I have four uncles who died from, like, cirrhosis of the liver.
I had an uncle that died from cirrhosis of the liver. On my mom's side, her father's sister died of drug overdose at 36. She was gorgeous. Her name was Honey.
Jesus.
And she died at 36. And the other side of the family had some shit happen with some people who died young from alcoholism. It's pretty intense. But to grow up in that household and I'm looking at you. I'm like going, yeah, how are you? My childhood wasn't nearly as bad as this. I wasn't. How do you?
Now I'm writing out a biography.
Is this why you like horror movies? Is that why at a young age you were like, oh, I'm a monster? Well, then I'm going to love the monsters because I can relate to them.
I did get into horror movies in second grade and nobody else was into them, certainly not girls. But I saw these magazines, like Famous Monsters magazine, and then my cousin took me to a bunch of the old Roger Corman movies, like Pit in the Pendulum, Tomb of Lygia, all those. My first one was House on Haunted Hills. And
what about the head one you like? You like that called the head?
The head with two things? No.
It was, but it wasn't your favorite thing.
Okay. And that had, no.
It was just a bad movie.
But I really did get so into horror then. And I mean, that may have had something to do with it. Who knows, you know?
Do you know I'm a diehard horror fan?
Are you really?
Yeah, diehard. Yeah, I have horror movie nights here every week with with some of my buddies, and we try to find good horror because it's very hard to find horror. In fact, I saw another shitty horror movie in the theaters yesterday. It was just another one of these movies where it's just like, can we be original at all? Can the scares be? Can the story be somewhat plausible? Can this? I want something real. I'm in the process.
Have you done any horror movies? I mean,
I was in a movie called Urban Legend. I was one of the leads in Urban Legend. I did a movie called Curse with Wes Craven, which wasn't very good. I loved working with Wes Craven. He asked me to do the movie, and I said yes before reading the script because I just wanted to work with him.
I would say yes too.
Yeah. And I made a short horror film that was at Scream Fest and stuff. So I do love horror, and I'm getting more into it. And now, I'm just a huge horror nut. So I'll show you around the house. I'll show you some horror stuff that I have. I'm good buddies with Bruce Campbell. You know Bruce?
Yes.
One of the best, right?
Oh, my God. I love him. And that's one of my all-time favorite
series. Tyler, have you seen
it?
Rob, have you seen Evil Dead 2?
Evil Dead 2 is my favorite.
A long time ago.
Do you know what his coined phrase is from that movie?
No.
I don't even remember.
Offhand.
You know it, don't you?
No. I forgot.
Groovy.
Oh,
come on.
Thank you for reminding me. How can you forget that? I forget everything. Though,
first
right now,
you want to kill me. Now you want to kiss me. Blow. You don't remember
That's
Bruce.
That's good. Voice is perfect.
Bruce was down here. He was really stoned, and we did a pilot together. I got sort of fired from the pilot, but then they never even recast me.
Sort of fired?
Well, they never recast me from the pilot. Thank you. I knew that Rob, if I mentioned some self-deprecating fact, he'd want to embellish it. I got fired from.
I think it's embellishing
it's like
if I'm asking you to.
Sort of pregnant.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
Sort of pregnant.
Well, I did. We shot the pilot. They screened the pilot at my house here in the screening room, and then they picked it up for 5 episodes. But said as long as we have to get rid of Michael and hire someone else. But then they never hired anyone else. And they never aired the show. And
So that was sort of fired. I'm looking at your pictures.
You bitch!
Yeah. I'm looking at the pic. I should have noticed. You're sitting right under Alfred Hitchcock.
Why'd you make me turn my neck? I told you I had surgery, Cassandra.
Oh, don't turn your neck. Okay. I'm telling you, you should know they were back there.
Yeah, you know who's that? That is.
Yes, of course. The Wicked Witch from the
Wizard of
Oz.
What was her name?
Monkey.
What was her name in real life?
Oh, my God. Margaret Whiting.
Margaret Hamilton.
Oh, God. What was her
character's name? Wasn't it Elmira Gulch or something?
Oh, well, before she turned into the witch.
Right.
Yes, Elmira. Look
Elmira.
At that.
Elmira. You should know that, right?
I know.
Inside of You is brought to you by Rocket Money. I love Rocket Money. You know why? Because everyone should have Rocket Money because it just helps you save money. How many times do we have subscriptions that we don't even know we have anymore and we're paying so much money? It's just throwing away money, Ryan.
I found one.
You did it. You told me. I got Rocket Money.
Okay, I found one. I'm embarrassed to say how long it's been going on, but thank you for finding it. My God, it was embarrassing.
Yeah, because it's like you want to watch some show and you go, I have to subscribe to this this streaming whatever. Mm-hmm. And you start streaming the show, you watch it, you leave, and you forget. After this trial period, it kicks in and they're charging you $10 a month. It is embarrassing.
Ugh.
You know, 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about. Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had, you know, like, oh, I have like 5 subscriptions. I could not believe it when they showed me I was paying for like 4 extra. Between, you know, streaming devices and fitness apps, delivery services, it's never ending. And thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on the ones I forgot about. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features.
Rocket Money will even try to negotiate lowering your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with the customer service for you. And I like that.
Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/inside. That's rocketmoney.com/inside. Rocketmoney.com factormeals.com/inside. Inside of You is brought to you by Factor. Factor Meals has changed my life. I am not spending tons of money ordering delivery service all the time anymore. I get delicious meals that are customized to my liking. I can make them in just 2 minutes. I have a menu of over 35 options delivered to my door. Calorie smart, keto, protein plus, vegan, veggie, you choose. Discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feeling good all day long. And these meals are delicious. I've had their chicken. I've had their chili. I have had their burgers. This is delicious. You're going to save money and no more stress going to the grocery store, Ryan. You don't want to go to the grocery store all the time when you can have your meals delivered right there for you.
Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to doing what you love this spring.
Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. No fuss, no mess meals. Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. You simply heat and savor the good stuff.
Tailored to your schedule, customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle.
Head to factormeals.com/inside50 and use code INSIDE50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code INSIDE50 at factormeals.com/inside50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
So, you know, what's funny is we really haven't even got into Elvira, and you probably like that because that's all you ever fucking talk about is Elvira.
It is. I know. That is all I
But
ever
you
talk
were
about.
Elvira, but you were a... You
I
were,
still am.
Yeah, you're still... I'm not saying you're not. You still are.
Yes.
But from all this, somehow you found something. I feel like if you didn't find something when you were, like, going through Groundlings and finding this character, is it possible? Am I out of line to say that maybe it saved your life? That you found something that really just changed you forever?
Yeah, I don't know about saving my life, but I tell you, I was one inch away from just quitting showbiz. I mean, I had wanted to be, I didn't know what I wanted to be, a dancer, singer, actor, but I knew from a really young age I wanted to be in show business somehow. It was really bizarre. I looked at all these scars. I was really, really introverted, but I wanted to like perform in front of everybody that came over to our house. Or I was about 3 months from saying no more showbiz, because I was turning 30, I had just gone in to see this agent. I'll never forget his name, Edgar Small. And I had gone in to see him trying to get a new agent because I'd been on the road with a band for a long time. And I came back to LA, went to see him, and he goes, "How old are you?" And I go, 29. He goes, "Oh, well, I'm sorry. You're washed up. You're has been. Go back to Kansas." You know,
he said
was,
that.
Yeah, yeah. He was just like,
"Was it Tom?
I'm not
sure,
taking
was it Tom Jones?" This talk, this agent?
No, it was a Tom Jones uncle, Edgar Small. Edgar Big.
You should start calling Tom Jones Edgar Small.
Yeah, I should. Well, I can't say that.
So go ahead. So what'd you
but
do?
But anyway, so I left there like, I just have to get out of show business. I'm 30. When you're a female, and this was like in the 70s, you know, late 70s. When you do turn 30, your career can be kind of over. Then it really was. It was like, well, what are you going to do as a 30-year-old female? And so I thank God I did not sign with him, because I swear, like 2 weeks later, I got, I got married, I went on honeymoon, and then I got this audition for a local horror host thing. And I was like, horror, that'd be fun. And it paid like $300 a week. So it wasn't like, oh, finally, I'm wealthy.
And was it called Elvira at the time?
It was called Movie Macabre. And they wanted me to be Vampira. And that's a whole other story.
Right.
But
Vampira was before. That was like...
She was in like 1953.
That's what started it all, right? But it was a different thing.
She was the first horror hostess.
First horror hostess, right.
So they wanted me to be another Vampira, but then she sued me because we were going to use a name and we had to change the name at the last minute. So we drew names out of a can. They drew Elvira.
What were some of the other names?
Well, I put in Cassandra, smart.
Cassandra, yeah. Mistress of the Dark.
I thought it sounded kind of witchy, but then I mean, how would I be now? Like, it'd be Cassandra, and then it'd be this other Cassandra. I would have to change my real name.
That would be weird.
It'd be really weird. So thank God I didn't pick my name. I don't remember any of the other names. All I remember is picking that name and going, Elvira, that sucks. That sounds like a like a country western star.
It is. It was an Oak Ridge Boys song.
Yeah.
Giddy up, boom, bop, mow, mow, giddy up. You remember that song, Rob?
No.
Elvira.
Rob's too nice to remember anything.
Come on, help me out. On fire for Elvira.
There's always one drunk guy in the audience wherever I appear. There's like Elvira.
You want to kick his ass?
I do want to kick his ass. I'm so sick of that. Yes.
Yeah.
But you have a neck injury, so I'll wait.
Yeah. I see Rob's ass right now.
You get better.
Hanging out of his pants. No, actually, I don't. It's your shirt. It's tucked in. Sorry. I thought I saw your ass. I got excited.
Wow. First he wants to blow Elvis. Now he wants to. I know. Jeez. Okay. I'm getting a whole different vibe about you, Michael.
I'm very comfortable with my sexuality. I have a lot of gay friends, a lot of straight friends. I say what I want. I like to walk around the house naked.
You're very fluid.
Fluid. I know what the word fluid means, but what do you mean?
You're very sexually fluid.
Well, how about just fluid, like you kind of go with the flow? You're fluid.
Yeah. I would not say fluid to people, because that goes more towards like, you know.
No, I'm into women. I am into women.
There you go.
I think. I mean, for the most part, for 46 years, I've been into women. But like, there's been some men that I've seen that I could talk to my therapist about. I go, he goes, well, I don't know. I see these men and I'm like, wow. And he's like, well, do you want to fuck these men? He didn't say that because he's my therapist. And I said, well, no, I don't want to fuck.
He said, copulate.
But kind of.
Do you want to sleep with them? I go, no. Do you have thoughts of their penises? I go, oh God, no. Then what is it? I go, well, I just feel like envious of their body, of their looks, of their physique. He's like, yeah, every guy's like that.
Yes.
Like, okay, good.
I think so. I mean, if you are comfortable.
Rob, are you like that?
Sure.
He doesn't want to admit it.
Tyler?
I'm bisexual.
You're what?
I'm bi.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
Well, Tyler's bisexual.
Oh, well, there you go.
Well, thank God.
Fluid. See, now that's
fluid.
God. Well, see, that's...
Are you bisexual?
Have
you had sex with a woman?
Well, I've tried a little bit of this and that, everything. You know,
what do you mean everything? You went from this and that to everything.
Not everything, but yeah, I mean, I've always experimented and trying to find the right thing that was right for me. Because how do you know that it's wrong for you if you haven't tried it?
So you're saying I should suck Matt Damon off?
Yeah,
because I've been thinking about that for some time.
Oh my God,
Matt Damon? No, not Matt Damon.
Oh, I just saw that Queen movie, Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
Oh Lordy God, that was a great movie.
I loved it too.
I freaking loved it. The gay thing, bisexual sort of try. I mean, he was really gay, I believe, but then he was in love with that girl Mary forever. But then he's
you're born with the direction you want to go, and you can go in any direction.
Yeah.
And that's true. So who was the first woman you had sex with?
Oh, I didn't.
Well, you kind of insinuated.
I'm not
Cassandra.
Even
going to
go there. I think it was when I was like in Girl Scouts in fourth grade or something. But it wasn't sex. But you know, it was
kissy touchy.
I mean, yeah. Do you? You know, I think all guys. I think you are bullshitting me. Even you, if you say that when you were a kid, you didn't kind of mess around with one of your friends. I mean, little boys do that, and I think girls do that too.
I think I did touch a wiener once.
I think you did. Yeah, I think.
Yeah, I touched a wiener.
I know you did. He just called me. He asked
I did.
Your number.
I remember this guy Brian. He was like, we were all at a party. He's like, he just whipped it out in front of everybody, and everybody's like, oh look, Brian's. He's got a wiener and it's hard. And I think everybody just poked at it once. And I think I was one of the pokers.
Oh my God.
I didn't like play with it, but I poked it for sure. I poked his hard boner. Does that make me gay? No, I don't give a shit. If it does, I'm gay.
I think every kid, you know, does that at some time or another with you know, other kids of the same set. And they're practicing. I used to practice making out with one of my girlfriends. We'd like, how would you kiss in case a boy ever came along?
Yeah.
You would kiss, but we didn't think one ever would, you know?
Yeah.
So either kiss your best friend or kiss your pillow or your arm. We practiced a lot on our arm.
Right. But, I still do that. Fresh breath is so important, isn't it, during a kiss?
It really is.
Breath
really
is really the most important thing.
I mean, if they have horrible breath, you got to go away.
You're out. Have you had that before?
I've just gotten close enough to somebody that I was like, oh, I got to go. I have to sort my sock door, you know, and ugh, no.
Has anyone ever wanted, this is a stupid question, because I know the answer. Are you enjoying this so far?
Oh, yes, it's really fun.
Isn't it?
Yes. You
weren't expecting so much fun, admit it.
I really wasn't expecting all this. No.
Yeah, this is just fun. We just have a good time. We're open.
I really like this.
How many guys in your lifetime have said, while you're dating them, have said, can you please be Elvira while I'm having sex with you? Can you put the outfit on?
Yeah, probably all of them. Which I never did, not even for my ex-husband.
You never did it once.
No, I don't want to mess up my hair and makeup. I'm not kidding.
You would never put the makeup on, the wig, and be like,
I didn't want to fuck up my hair.
That's ridiculous.
Yes, that wig is too much you know money what I to have done? It styled.
You know what I would have done?
Rip that wig off.
They're fucking cheapos, because I would have bought a second wig just for us to have fun with.
Well, yeah.
Then you can complain. Hey, this is not the Elvira wig. This is the wig that I purchased from a real hairdresser. This is made from real hair. This is Cher's hairdresser.
And should we have Tyler bring out the wig?
Tyler, bring out the wig!
Uh-oh. Whoa, you got one back there. And even I was asked to do Playboy, lay out Playboy as Elvira.
You wouldn't do it?
No, I didn't do it because, you know, Elvira's a pretty PG character,
she really is.
I didn't want to.
She's perverse
ruin that.
A little bit. She insinuates things.
Yes, but she never goes over the line.
She never goes over the line. That's true. And I think that's what's sexy about her.
I think so, too. This was so funny. I was having, when I was offered a lot of money, that the most money they ever offered anyone except Farrah Fawcett, and Hugh Hefner used to tell me that all the time.
Playboy?
To do Playboy. And I really, really wanted that money bad.
How much?
$1 million.
What year?
84.
Hang on a second. In 1984, they asked you, Cassandra Peterson, to pose as Elvira in Playboy for $1 million, which is now probably worth $5 million.
Maybe. Yeah. Oh, I wanted that money in the worst way. I got to tell
you. And what made you say no?
Well, I was thinking, you know, and I'd posed before in magazines. Nude. I used to work for Playboy.
So you have Playboy models. Photos of you nude.
I was a showgirl. Yes. All over the place.
Well, I didn't know that. I've never seen you
nude.
Yeah.
And I'm like totally fine with that. I'm like, oh, I'm not really shy.
I can't believe I haven't seen these photos. No, I'm kidding.
Oh, well. Anyway. But yeah, I used to. So I was, like I said, I was a showgirl by the time I was 17. I was running around with, you know, practically nothing on except feathers. So I was not shy, but I went to some kind of a panel that I did with my fans, and I told them that I was offered to do it Playboy. And believe it or not, and there's plenty of, you know, horny dudes in those crowds, everyone said no, because they said that I would ruin the mystique that Elvira had. I just showed enough to keep her mysterious and sexy. And they said, if you did that, it would be like, no more mystery, no more mystique.
It's almost like David Prowse, like Darth Vader, just like not wearing the mask while he's like talking to Luke.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, we want to know what's behind, but we don't get to see it.
Yeah. And, you know, I couldn't have this awesome cereal today, right, if I'd been running around taking nude pictures with
Elvira. Let's go back to the hair messing up during sex with your husband.
God, no. I wouldn't even do it for him.
So did they really try? If I was your husband or your boyfriend, I'd probably really try to go, what could I do? How could we make this happen?
You know, it's very, very bizarre.
What is it
when
that you
get
in
the character?
You didn't love them enough.
No, when you get into that character and you look like that character, for me, you just
don't feel sexy.
You don't feel sexy. You're being like a professional.
Is that what it is? You don't feel sexy?
Maybe.
I guess the same thing as if some girl said, hey, I want you to shave your head, wear an Armani suit, and fuck me like Lex Luthor.
Yeah.
Or fuck me.
You would do it.
And you have to stay. You're a guy. You would do it for sure.
First of all, no one's ever asked me. And if it was my girlfriend of many years and I felt like this is my wife, I'm going to love her, I could do whatever I want, I might do it.
You're lying. I bet you've done it.
No, I've never done it. I mean, I've done it, but I haven't done that. That's cheesy.
Yeah. I don't know. It was just a buzzkill. It didn't sound sexy or fun or anything. It was like, I'm working here. You know what I mean?
Really?
That feeling. Yeah.
But what if it was like they wanted you to act like Elvira or you're having sex, like doing wisecracks?
Well,
like,
that would have
even
been
worse. Hey, come on, Edgar Small. You're better than that.
Then I would have asked for money.
Right, yeah, right. Interesting. Right.
So I don't know. It just was like not sexy to me. It's painful. You're uncomfortable, hot.
You take off your clothes.
And then, of course, that part's not uncomfortable. But, you know, it's just like I'm not having fun. I mean, you know.
You didn't want to do it.
I did not want to do it.
That's it. And it sounds to me like you shut them down and says, this is a conversation we can never have again.
Kind of.
Was that what you said?
Pretty much. Yeah.
And they respected
even go
that.
There. Don't even go there.
Yeah. Did some of them not even want to go there?
They didn't go there.
Really? They didn't go there?
No.
Right.
After I told them not to go there.
Now, do you think that you're 17 years old? Let's get back to some therapy here. No,
okay.
Let's go back to 17 years old, so 10 years ago. But you're 17. I remember that I read somewhere where you left, like you were going and you were in Vegas and you saw something, you auditioned for something and got it, and your parents were like, what are you doing? Let's go. Like,
No, this was a really weird story. I was in high school, and it was spring break, and my parents wanted to go to California.
Can you open that bottle of water?
Yes, I can't even do it. Thank you. I know. I was.
Oh, no, that's it.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. That's Hint water.
Wow, you're strong.
They don't even give me money. They just give
you're
me free
super
water.
Strong.
Hint, yeah.
Oh, that's
Hint.
Awesome. So anyway, yeah, so my parents wanted to go to California with me and my two sisters. So I was between 16 and 17. We are on our way to California. They stop in Las Vegas. I had seen Viva Las Vegas with Elvis Presley and Anne Margaret, and I begged my parents to take me in to see that they were going to a big show at the Dunes Hotel. Begged and pleaded to take me. And they said, well, you can't get in there. And I said, yes, I can. I have a fake ID that says I'm 21. And they're, oh, you're not supposed to have that. And they go, well, I do. And then I dressed up. I said, you know, I'll look over 21. So I put like all these little wiglets on my head, and I stuffed my bra. I had my Fredericks of Hollywood super stuffed cleavage bra, and I had eyelashes I put on. So I either looked like a hooker or a showgirl.
But so you looked over 21.
I looked over 21. Okay. So I went in with my mom and dad, sat down. The maitre d' came over and said, oh, you must be in one of the shows here. I was just dressing up like Anne Margaret in View Las Vegas. You
right.
know? And I go, I'm not a showgirl. A few minutes later, out comes this dance captain. Her name was Fluff. And she said, come with me. Come backstage a moment, can you? And I was like, oh, my God, I'm busted. They have the police back there. You know, I was panicked. And my parents were sitting there going, oh, Lord, God, what happened? And I went back there. They had a stage manager and a couple of other people, and they said, we're mounting a new show tomorrow called Viva La Girls. I mean, all these Viva La, Viva Las, everything. And we're still looking for showgirls. And would you be interested in auditioning? And I went, I'm only 17. And I like broke down and started crying. And they go, you know, we're going to put some music on and you dance to it. Do you know how to dance? And I said, yes, I'm a dancer. That's what I've been studying dance my whole life. And they put the music on and got done. They said, all you have to do is meet with the producer tomorrow and you can be in the show. And I go, my parents are not going to let me. I can tell you. And we went and met with the producer. The next day, he said, yes, I want to hire you. And he said to my parents, they said, well, she's only 17. And he said, we can get papers drawn up that say that she can be in the show. She just can't come into the casino where there's gambling or drinking. She has to come and go by the back door, but she can be in the show running around in her skivvies, you know. And my parents said no and dragged me out of there. I made their life a living hell for the next 6 months. I finished high school by the skin of my teeth, let me tell you. And I don't know how I got through that. And I headed back to Vegas the next day where they still wanted me. I was in communication.
And that's how it all started.
And that's how it started. I was a go-go girl before that, though. So I'd been a go-go girl since I was 14.
And your parents didn't care, or were they sort of upset with you? Do you feel like you let them down?
No. They thought it was fabulous. After I finally became a showgirl, they thought I'd hit the big time, you know. It wasn't that they didn't care. It was that I did anything I wanted to do. I was pretty
rebellious.
Rebellious, yeah.
More so than your other sisters? More so than...
Oh, 100,000 times more. They never did any of the stuff.
So you talked back to mom. You talked
back
to dad.
And they didn't. I mean, my parents, basically, I think they were so working so much that they didn't know most of what I was doing, or they'd yell at me. I just didn't listen. I'd moved out. I lived on my own when I was 14. I moved out of my
parents' house. I can't even imagine
house.
That.
I know. When my daughter was 14, I was like, you could not survive for 3 seconds. Yeah. There on this, you know. But I moved out. I couldn't deal with my mom. We had a horrible relationship. And I was driving all over Nebraska, South Dakota, North Dakota, Wyoming, on the go-go dancing circuit. I had to do that like in summer.
You must have been
summer.
You must have been phenomenal looking, like beautiful and
so.
Could dance. Look, for someone
I had gigantic boobs, that made me very popular. My name was Big Red.
That was it. The big boobs. And you think that helped a lot?
Oh God, yeah. Are you kidding? Plus, I twirled tassels. That always comes in handy. So I got a lot of money making. Dancing. I mean, go-go dancing. I worked at a club in Colorado Springs called Club A Go Go, where I danced inside a glass cage.
Really?
Yeah.
Like the red light district sort of stuff.
No.
Oh, no?
It was like a nice big club. It was like when the Whiskey had go-go dancers on Sunset.
You're not
that old, but...
I'm 46.
You're not that old. When I came here when I was a kid, on the Whiskey, on the corner of it was the glass case, and there were girls in there with white go-go boots and fringy dresses and a black light go-go dancing outside on the building. Yeah.
Did you feel like this is like, when you're doing this, are you thinking there's something bigger, there's something better, or I could do this forever, I like this?
I'm thinking nonstop, there's something bigger, there's something better.
And what was that in your head?
I didn't know. Well, when I saw Anne Margaret and Elvis in that movie, I thought, that's what it is. That's bigger. That's
right,
better.
Right.
That's where I want to go. And then it just happened. I didn't even go out and look for it. It just found me. And that's kind of how my whole life has been. Then I'd go, that looks good. I'll do that. And then it just
happens. Do you like to do everything still? Do you like to say, hey, I'm going to try that. God, I'd like to do this. I want to do this. Does that never stop? Or are you insatiable? Or do you sort of be like, you know, I was in a band. I did go-go dancing. I'm Elvira. It's enough. I did the conventions. It's enough. When is it enough?
I don't know. I wonder. I'm like, what's the next thing? But I mean, there's things as Elvira that I would like to do. Like, well, I'd like to write my autobiography. I think I've given all of the information away here today, but I'd like to write my autobiography,
which
I'm about half done with it right now, but I never get, that's one of the, have you written a book?
No, I thought about it.
Oh man.
You have to write though, don't you?
You have to write have to learn how to spell, but you have to sit down and do it because you can't just do, oh, I'll do a half an hour today. I'll do 2 hours next Wednesday. You have to really sit down and think, you know, and really put it together.
Or hire someone really smart to sort of dissect your brain. And
I don't like ghostwritten.
It's not to say it's ghostwriting. It's like, hey, you know, recording all this today and then going each day and then sort of like putting all your thoughts together in a cohesive manner, maybe.
Yeah, that's my problem because I'm like one of those people that my daughter always says the way I talk is like, oh, honey, how are you? Look, that's a squirrel. You
that's know? What my assistant says about me.
Oh, really?
Squirrel.
Yeah. Look, there's a squirrel.
Like that?
Yep.
I am like that.
I know. I think that we both have ADHD.
Yeah. I absolutely.
I'm sure I do.
ADD, ADHD. I have ADT. Security.
I do too.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think that's really important.
I do too.
Rob, are you having fun with Cassandra Peterson today?
I am.
Isn't she phenomenal?
She is.
I mean, I'll be honest.
How do you tell when Rob is having fun?
I'm not going to throw Rob under the bus, but Rob, let's give him credit. He's 29 years old. He's a smart guy. He's business savvy.
I think he's 30.
30. He's technological. He's an artist. He's all these things. So is Tyler. But, you know, when I say Elvira, he's heard of you. But
thank God.
He doesn't really know Elvira. Like, it was more of my generation, more of what I want. But now it's coming back around. But, Rob, I think you are, I could tell you're pleasantly surprised. Like, holy shit, this woman is pretty phenomenal.
How do you tell Rob there's anything? He's got the same expression on his face all the time. He looks very pleasant.
Well, what have you gathered so far today? How would you describe this interview?
I don't even know how to describe it.
I'll tell you. Would you say it's incredibly informative, insightful?
It's been informative. It's been a little all over the place.
Yeah. And I think that's because her life, my life, sort of have all been all over the place. And how do you sort of, how do we go like, what's the word when you go in order? Sequentially, chronologically. You can't really do that because she says something interesting and then I want to hear about
that. Then we go off on the thing.
So then we come back to Tanya. It's like, I want to get back to like, you know, things that, you know, we talk about in the show. Like with all these things, you sound pretty daring.
Oh, thank
you. But I never heard a lot about anxiety. I never heard about depression. I never heard about pill popping. I never heard about. Have you never had really? Have you always had your shit together somewhat?
No. I've always been like kind of a wreck, but I did a ton of drugs back in the 60s.
What drugs
and the
were you 70s. Doing? Heroin?
Oh, no. I never did heroin.
Cocaine?
Well, lots and lots of cocaine. Yeah, I did that. That could have been the one drug I would have gotten in trouble with, you know, if I would have kept going.
Was Tom Jones doing coke that night?
No, no. God, I hadn't even heard of drugs back then except pot and, you know, weed. I was smoking that all the time. But I'd done LSD, which I happen to think probably changed my life.
In a good way?
God, in a good way. It was not a good experience at the time. But I always say the two things I think that changed my life completely, my perspective of life, you kids now listen to this good advice, is dropping acid.
Jesus Christ.
And going to Europe when I was really young. I saved up my go-go dancing money and I went to Europe supposedly on an art history tour. But I got out of Kansas and Colorado Springs and I was like, oh my God, look at the food. You know, I mean, I thought Italian food was like Chef Boyardee, you know, and all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, this is so fantastic. And you know, the places and it was so old and beautiful and amazing. And it was just like, there's this world out there. And the same sort of thing on acid. It was like, oh my God, my wallpaper can talk and my dog has one, it doesn't have a head. And there's so much
folks,
out there.
Elvira Cassandra Peterson is telling you to do two things. One, yes, go, advice, get out of your home, yeah. Go to Europe, get out of your comfort zone, and also try some LSD.
Well, I'm going to
But it was a different time than LSD.
It was a different time.
I've never done LSD. It scares me
Well, you do it with a person with you now. You wouldn't just go do it like I did.
Well, why don't we go see Bohemian Rhapsody and do some LSD
together?
Wouldn't that be a great first date?
Oh, that would be fantastic. There's a book out right now, Michael Pollan, yeah, that is the food, talking about how LSD completely changed his life and his outlook on life. I mean, you kind of die and then you're reborn. I did. I was underground. I was in a casket.
I'm afraid I'm going to do something. I'm afraid I'm going to do something.
You're going to have someone with you who's going to watch you and take care of you. You're not going to jump out a window. I went and laid on the railroad tracks for a couple hours till a friend of mine found me. Thank God the train hadn't come yet.
God.
Yeah. See, that's why you want somebody with you.
Yeah. And I'm going to take a low dose. How about just like, you know, like, can I just take, like, an L?
You know you can't OD on it? You cannot OD. It's physically impossible. There's no way to die on acid except if you jumped out of a window.
Or if it's battery acid you take by accident.
Yes.
Then you're going to
die.
Then it's over.
Yeah, right, exactly. So
never really any anxiety. You had your shit together. You never got really depressed. But what you
no,
said...
No, I had anxiety. When I got famous, I got serious anxiety.
Yeah, that's
panic attack.
Me too.
Did you? Yeah, because all of a sudden you're a normal person walking around the streets, and the next thing you know, there are people looking for you. I had a stalker, and that scared the living crap out of me, and people treat you differently, and everything's different all of a sudden.
Do you still get anxiety?
Not really. I get normal anxious over things, you know, like
what about with
people
work?
Do.
Like, do you ever, like, while you're working, have an anxiety attack while you're working?
No, I only had anxiety attacks one time, and that was when, right after I got famous, my sister was having a lot of trouble. I was trying to put her in rehab, and then I got this stalker. And then I started to get scared of everywhere I went. I imagined I'd see
How
somebody behind
was
me.
Was he dangerous?
Oh, yeah, he was super dangerous. I'd get LAPD. They painted my address on the roof. I got two Rottweilers, which I attacked, trained. It was very, very
what,
bad.
What constitutes
He sent me a body part in a little box. And
a
it was
body part?
On my doorstep. Nobody would ever tell me what it was. Not my husband.
If it's a body part, it's a finger or a penis, probably.
Something in a box of a person, of a woman, something.
Well,
so it wasn't a penis.
Yeah.
And I wish it would have been his. But yeah, had like, I think, 7 or 8 stalking cases now that I've gone through. I've been around so freaking long. I have an active one now, and I'm 100 years old.
You say
it doesn't ever
old.
Stop.
Why do you think you're so old?
I don't know, because I am.
But you're not.
I'm 67.
How do you feel?
I feel like 12.
Okay, I'm 46 and I feel 80.
Okay. Oh, that's not good.
Listen, it's ridiculous. My grandmother said something really sweet. She says, Mikey, you never even understand. People go through life and they don't realize that your 50s, your 60s, your 70s, even in your 80s, those are the best years of your life.
Oh, I
you
love
travel,
that.
You do things. She goes, my 70s were the best. I'm telling you, your best years are yet to come.
I hope so. I hope I get a break and I can stop working.
What do you mean a break? You're a millionaire.
Well, I just don't want to, you know, it's not the money. It's just like, I think I'm very obsessed about work. Are you kind of, I'm a workaholic.
I'm not anymore. I kind of like work so much for so long that I'm kind of now like I found this podcast that I really enjoy. I'm trying to do things that I really enjoy. I have a band.
Yeah,
I do a podcast. I'm still writing.
What are you doing in a band? What do you play?
Lead singer. I write the songs.
Nice.
That make the young girls cry.
What kind of?
It's kind of like Southern rock meets sort of like the Wallflowers kind of thing.
Very cool.
Yeah, but I'm trying to do things that I love. And I still like acting.
Good. I'm going to take your advice. You take mine. Drop acid. I'll take yours. Do things I love.
Listen, what do you want to do? Die at 90 or whatever, whenever you die, and then go, God, I was always so obsessed with working. And
yeah,
doing all
no,
these
I know.
Well,
but my work is fun. It's not like my work is
yeah,
in
your,
a factory.
Yeah, your work
just,
is, if you
know.
Enjoy your work, that's different.
Yeah,
if you really love true. I started to think that, like, I'm like, I don't really like 16-hour days. I don't want to do the same scene over and over and
That's
over.
So
I'm too ADD. Ugh. I don't want to do it over and over unless it's great. Unless this stuff is so good that I have to do it. And I've done a lot of good stuff and a lot of shit that I just am going to wait around. Whether I don't care how long it takes. I want the good stuff.
Yeah.
So if some good stuff is brought to me, I'm going to do it and write my own shit. And otherwise, I'm happy. People always ask you, what are you doing? What are you doing next? I'm trying to take it day by day.
Yeah, No, that's good.
Yeah.
I don't like acting. I hate acting. I hate getting parts on any like, I don't know, television show, movies, which I don't take or don't do, but I'm talking about long ago when right. I did. I hate freaking just normal acting. Hit your mark. Remember the lines.
I really do not.
I always
unless
say,
it's
and I'm
really
not
fun.
Really an actor.
Unless you're
I
having fun.
I had fun when I was doing Mistress of the Dark, my movie a million years ago.
Yeah,
I had fun.
I love that.
Because I wrote it and I couldn't wait to see how it came out. I was excited.
See, I directed my own thing and produced it and wrote it and started
then
it.
Then it was fun.
And then it was fun. It was,
and I remembered my lines because I wrote them.
Because you wrote them.
I know.
But see, that there's some fun to it. Look, the industry can be fantastic. It can be. It's also dangerous if you let it become dangerous, like in terms of like letting your head get too big, letting, you know, doing things that you wouldn't normally do, thinking you're sort of invincible, being around toxic people, people that bring you down.
Yep.
But I think that's the world. I think we all have that no matter what profession you do.
Yeah, no, it's true. To a certain degree. But I think acting and doing films is one of the hardest jobs in the world, because you're not just doing physical work, you're not just doing mental work, you're doing emotional work.
Yeah.
And you're combining everything, and the hours are ridiculous. I mean, this is sickening.
I'm lazy. I'm fucking lazy. I don't want to work 16 hours. Why do they do that? You know, it's like my friend Phil goes, I work today. I'm like, awesome, dude. What were your hours? He's like, I work 9 to 5. Why can't film hours be 9 to 5?
Sometimes that sounds
well,
so
you
great.
Make a lot more money. But I know, but 9 to 5 seems like I could do that.
Yeah.
My body can actually handle 9 to 5.
Me too.
With a nap. With a nap.
With a nap too. In between.
What about night scenes?
Well, then go 10 to 6.
Yeah. But then you get so screwed up. Like,
your mind gets screwed up.
Yeah.
Look, I love what I do. I've had I love my career. I love where I've come from, you know, where I'm going. And again, I'm learning to take it, be present, and doing it day by day. And I think that's the most important thing.
Aww.
And that's, I know it sounds like it's...
It's like having a therapy session.
Well, it is. It's easier said than done. But I think if you just try to... I mean, the more I try to stay in the moment, the more I have fun with my life. Instead of filming everything, I was always that kid from Beverly Hills 90210. Remember the kid who was always filming every fucking thing?
Yeah, instead of filming everything, just be.
Yeah, my uncle was like, we were at Disney World. He's like, Michael, we're actually at Disney World. You don't need a film of how fun we're having.
That you're never going to look at anyway.
So I was like, wow, that's pretty profound.
It's pretty crazy when you see people with their iPhones. I mean, I do it too, but running around with their iPhones, taking shots at everything, and they're at a concert and they're holding it at the concert. It's like,
watch the
fucking concert.
Just enjoy it. Just enjoy it.
You're taking a video. Are you really going to go home and watch a 2-hour concert later on your phone on the screen?
I bet some people will.
2 inches
depends
wide.
On what kind of microphone you had and how good it sounds.
I guess I don't know.
This is the concert I was at. Now I'm listening to it. I wasn't listening to it there. I know you were divorced once. You have one child. How old is your child?
24.
24, young. That could be my child.
Wow. Yeah.
Well, could
be.
46.
It could be. I had her very, very late, and when I was 43.
Do you want to get married again?
No, never.
Do you date?
Huh?
Do you date?
Yes. Well, I have somebody that I've been with for a while.
How long you been with?
I'm not going to talk about it.
Hang on a second. Oh,
that's
that
one secret thing I know.
Is that the one thing? Is it because you're Elvira and you don't want people to know that you have a piece of ass on the side?
Yeah, something like
sort of. Right?
Yeah, it's very private.
You're very private about that. This is the first. You have been so open that it's amazing how something that seems so just small, but I can appreciate that.
Yeah,
I can appreciate that. I got in trouble a couple times. I'm not dating the person now, but I said a couple things, and it wasn't bad. But boy, did I never hear the end of it.
Yeah,
but it's not even about that.
It's too tricky. I already blew it one time. I mean, being married and talking to people about my relationship or about my husband, or and then people find out too much information and know things. And then my husband at one time got a person who was coming after him and was going to kill him. And I don't want to bring that part of my personal life into
that makes
my
perfect sense.
Pretend showbiz life. Just like,
you don't want to put your address on top of your house again, get 2 more Rottweilers.
No, I never want to do that. And I never want to have to move again, because I've had to move several times just because people found out where I lived.
It's so much harder being a woman. I think that happens
It does. I mean, out of 100, it happens to women.
Yeah, you don't hear Jason Momoa is being harassed. I think Jason Momoa could handle it.
He might be getting harassed, though.
He's pretty hot. Yeah, he's a friend. He won't do the podcast, so he doesn't do podcasts.
He just did SNL, though.
He did SNL because SNL's not inside of you with Michael Rosenbaum.
That's right.
You can work on him.
Maybe one day. I'm going to work on him, though. I'm going to work on him and say, hey, Jason, you know,
You did SNL. Podcast. You should come do this.
Yeah.
Well, this has been an incredible treat. I just want to say, first of all, thank you for allowing me to be inside of you today.
Well, yeah. Well, you're welcome anytime.
I mean, thank you for the box of cereal. I really
you might
you
not
know,
thank
I know
later.
This sounds weird. This might sound creepy, and it's not creepy. But I definitely, you're someone I'd like to be friends with.
Oh, like does he say that to all the people?
I thought he was going somewhere else.
No, bro. No, I have a feeling like I like you as a person. I just think you're a very genuine person, and it's just I could see like us playing some tennis together.
Yeah. Well, for an actor, you are really seem like a genuine non. I tell you, I dated actors. I would never date another freaking actor. Yeah. I'm sorry.
I probably was that guy at one point, ego. But I learned how to be a human being.
Yeah, you really are not like an actor. I would if I didn't know you were an actor and I just met you, I would not think you were an actor because there's a certain kind of guy. I think acting is something wrong with guys who are actors.
What would you think I was if I wasn't an actor? Be honest.
Radio DJ, because you're talking to... No.
Hey! No, but honestly, what would you think?
I don't know. Pick a career
or a third grader.
Maybe like a firefighter or something. Tall and hunky.
With a bad neck?
Yeah.
Firefighter. It's getting better.
Yeah, you look very handsome. You might be a firefighter.
You.
Okay.
Wow. This is your...
Yeah, but you're not the type of guy that's an actor. And I mean, I have actor friends. Okay, I hope they don't hear this. But
they will.
But dating actors, ugh. No.
Yeah. It's not easy. You want to date someone who just is normal. So some normalcy in your life. Or not normal actors.
Thinking about how he looks and his makeup. And
I've heard some guys, ex-girlfriends have told me stories about guys who put makeup on before they go out. Before they go out at night or they go out.
Well, that'd be a deal breaker for me.
Could you imagine? Put makeup more. They're in front of the mirror longer than you?
No. And I love gay men, and I love men that wear makeup and drag queens. I'm around them every day, all day.
That's different.
It's totally different.
Right. Than a straight man waking up and going, I need to look really, I'm going to these called contour on my cheeks. I'm going to make my nose look a little bit straighter. This is awesome, man. Well, I didn't want to stay. Will you come back sometime?
Sure.
Would you?
Yeah, no, this was super fun.
And I'll promote anything you want. You want to promote the cereal box?
Cereal. It's a Hot Topic. Can you say that?
You get a piece of that?
Yeah.
How much to each dollar?
You know, I don't know. I have a lot of licensed things, and they're all different.
Can I buy some things from you? Because, I'll
give it to you.
No, listen. I want an Elvira ornament for my tree.
Oh, I should have brought you one.
I want to buy one. No, listen, is there a website I can go to?
Well, yes, but I could give you all that stuff.
I don't care. I'll buy it. I have enough money to buy a $20
ornament.
Well,
you can go to Elvira.com.
Elvira.com. You can even give me after this, you could say, here's a promo code.
Okay.
And then I could buy a whole bunch of fun
shit. I don't
have
one, so you have to buy it at the regular price or else get it
free.
Great. Yeah.
But this has been a real treat. This has been I'm excited about this.
Oh, thank you. That was super fun.
This is so, you're amazing. This is really fun. I don't know how to end this.
Does he say that?
No! I mean, I have fun with people, but you're like you're an icon to me. You're like someone that I looked up to, that I adored. So this to me was like, I want to do more of this. I hope people can really listen to this episode and just be educated on. And I really believe that what I wanted to say before I forget is that I know your mom is proud of you. I know she's looking down. I know that. I really believe that. Thanks. And she knows that. She knows that you looked after her. She knows that you were always there. And there's just no doubt about that. And so I want you to smile at night going to sleep thinking, you know what?
You know what? Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Yep. No, a freaky thing that just happened on my way here. I just bought a little house that I am going to be renting out, and I have the workmen over there fixing everything. And that house was built in 1916, and I went over just on my way here. That's why I was a little late. Stopped in to see it, and someone there, my assistant was over there too, and said, "Hey, what was your mom's middle name?" And I said, "Arlene," and she goes, "Her initials are here in this cement right here. Her name is Phyllis Arlene Peterson." And it was PAP in this old, old cement that was on the back porch of the house. Now, that's pretty bizarre, right?
I go, tell you something.
Okay, I mean, of all the letters in the world, all right?
Right. And people will honestly, I have friends that are atheists, people that will put shit down. People say, this, come on, you're full of shit. We're just here by chance. This is the Big Bang. All these things, whatever. I will just say, I believe in all of that. I believe in all those little things.
I do too.
I believe
I have too many of them happen to me.
I believe
all the time.
That there's signs.
Yep.
I
yep.
do, and especially after a person passes, just recently, I feel like there's a sign. They tell you signs in little ways. My grandmother came to me in a dream, and I like to have faith in something.
Yeah.
And I think it's a beautiful
good for
thing.
You. Yeah, I think there's signs everywhere. Oh, sorry. Song from the 70s
that was also,
I really hated.
That was also a Tesla song. They redid it, and I hated it. Oh, I hated that version. I
hate that song.
Okay. Thank you again. This is Cassandra Peterson, Elvira.
Thank you.
Give it up. Rob, come on, man.
Thank you. Let's
this is some good stuff. We've never clapped before. Tyler, it's great fun.
Thank all you, right. guys.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone's senior writer, Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.